Right now.
Come, baby, come.
You gotta give me lovin' and you gotta give me some.
You gotta give me lovin' and you gotta give me some.
Come, baby, come.
Come, baby, come.
You gotta give me lovin' and you gotta give me some.
You gotta give me lovin' and you gotta give me some.
Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings.
In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with
our spirit. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I don't know if you watched. I don't know how much of it you watched. I don't know how early you were up on Saturday. But if you didn't, it's you missed a show. I'll just put it that way. You missed a show, okay? The coronation of Charles III. And let me start with this because I just want to make sure nobody misunderstands. I am an anti-monarchist. I am against the monarchy. I am against the idea. I don't believe there's a special race of humans running around with divine right to rule and reign, even if it's mostly symbolic these days, over the people of the British Empire that's passed down by blood through the firstborn, that used to be preferential by gender, and that the biggest thing that a guy who is now the king of England has to justify his existence is that he was born first and outlived everybody else. Like, I don't, that system doesn't make sense to me. I'm an American. We elect our leaders. So be it. Okay. Now, I will also say this as a Christian, there's a fairly hefty dose of bloodline authority and monarchialism in the Bible. You may know that there's a lot of this and, you know, bloodlines matter in the Bible. In the Old Testament, maybe not as much in the New Testament, although, you know, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and you have these bloodlines. Anyway, it's an interesting conversation for people who believe in the Bible, where political authority comes from, to what degree it is hereditary. You clearly have, like, you know, if you look in the history of the kings of Israel, you have this hereditary monarchical concept. But Saul was not it was picked by God and then David. So I'm just, there's a lot of conversation here. But as in the year 2023, as an American and a Christian, I'm an anti-monarchist. So I would never, ever, I am in agreement with the very mealy-mouthed decision by Joe Biden not to attend this ceremony. An American president has never attended a coronation, and an American president should never attend a coronation because we don't believe in this. And it's weird for us to go and be like, oh, yay, the monarch. Oh, hey, remember the revolution. like, that's an odd place to be. Even sending Jill Biden is weird. It's weird. It's like saying, yeah, kind of, not really, almost, sort of, but not at all, right? It's just an odd place to be. It's our strategic indifference sort of approach.
You did not go to England this weekend for the coronation.
No, I didn't. But I did speak to the king. We're going to be going to a NATO conference in Europe. And I told him I'd stop either on the way there or on the way back to discuss what he really is passionate about, the environment.
No follow-up from Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC? Like, but back to the why you're not going part that you didn't answer. And the answer there is so, you know, because I had other stuff scheduled. Come on. I mean, you know, the original thing is like when we finally got to have a healthy relationship with Britain, the original issue was, well, going to go all the way across the ocean, you know, really, in the 1800s? That's how we're going to do? We're going to travel across the ocean for... No, it's not going to happen. And then when it became easier to travel, we just kind of kept up that tradition. And nobody really wants to too carefully assess the reason of why. But that's okay. I'm just... I say that just so you understand the context for, you know, why some Americans, myself included, even though we can appreciate the beauty and the pageantry and the show and the religious elements of it, I love that part, are not in favor. And if it were not a news story, I don't know how much I'd watch. but my job is to report on the news, and this is the news. So you had this obviously huge ceremony, and many of the elements here were very different from what had been done in the past. For example, you had the presentation done by and done with people of varying accents representing various parts of the kingdom, you know, of the Great Britain. And so, you know, you had Wales and you had Ireland and you had Scotland represented, and you had a woman in the ceremony.
I here present unto you King Charles, your undoubted king.
And you had a black guy in the ceremony.
I here present unto you King Charles, your undoubted king.
And you didn't always have that. Let me just put it that way. You didn't always have that. Later on, by the way, one of the things that I think, it's an overtly Christian ceremony. I mean, it's so overtly Christian and Protestant, not just Christian. It's so overtly Protestant that when he takes his oath, right, the oath that King Charles took was specifically an oath about Protestantism, in case you didn't catch it. And this is, I don't know if this is specifically part of the legally required, I think the legally required part might not be this, but there's a part in his oath where he's basically, it's not just they're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're talking about getting given a Bible in order to keep the law and to have justice and grace, which is all true, but he specifically pledges, you know what? The only person that will ever succeed me on this throne is a Protestant. I'm a Protestant. That's the only way this happens, which is part of, as I understand it, that's the legal obligation.
I, Charles, do solemnly and sincerely, in the presence of God, profess, testify, and declare that I am a faithful Protestant, and that I will, according to the true intent of the enactments which secure the Protestant succession to the throne, uphold and maintain the said enactments to the best of my powers according to law.
So I'm the right kind of Christian. The next person's going to be the right kind of Christian, right? Which, in the follow-up to that, when you have after the homily and you have him being kind of, you know, presented to the representatives of the different Christian faiths, you have a whole bunch of different Christian denominations represented. And if you pay attention to the symbolism of where they're presented, right, they are inside the cathedral, which is shaped like a cross. In case you don't know, cathedrals are always shaped like crosses if you look down from above. And inside, you had a representative of the Roman Catholic Church, you had a representative of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and you had, you know, various representatives of different branches of Christianity inside. And then outside, like after the processional, you know, hey, he's gone through his four wardrobe changes or whatever, you know, he's prayed to the Holy Spirit inside the little secret area where you're not allowed to look. All of this stuff is, you know, very interesting and symbolic. And then they play the handle and, you know, everybody's excited. And he gets given the spurs and the orb and the globe and the scepter and the rod and the sword and the sword and the sword and the sword. You know, multiple swords. How many swords does one guy need? As many as you want to give him. And they play God Save the King, and then you get the benediction. And here you have the benediction being given by, again, several different Christian denominations. But he gets outside, like at the right at the outside of the area of the, like inside the building, but outside of the sort of presentational area. And then you have all of the other faiths represented. You know, you had I didn't catch exactly who each one was, but I believe you had a Buddhist, you had a Muslim, I think you had a Sikh. And, you know, he had several different non-Christian faiths represented, which was also important to him. So it was a very interesting ceremony. They're included, but not inside, just like the other Christian faiths are included, but not in the ceremony proper. It's in the benediction. And after it's all over, now you can talk about our king, you non-Protestant. So it's just, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And even they go through and does the big, long processional in the carriage that's got the 43 hydraulic stabilizing lifts or whatever. Oh, no, sorry. That's the arrival one. The departure one doesn't have all that. And then the military, they salute him.
Three cheers for His Majesty, the King, and Her Majesty, the Queen. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
So you put it all together, and it's a huge show to me as, again, a non-monarch and anti-monarchist. And as a Christian, the part that I think is great is the whole entire world is tuned in, and they're listening to a homily, and a show about the significance of Christianity to the ruling and political authority and the theology of the politics, really, the, you know, political theology of the British Empire, and that they are recognizing God and dependence on God and guidance by the Holy Spirit and thinking about service as a leader is not supposed to be through power, dominion, and authority, but is, in fact, by service and sacrifice.
This is promised by Jesus, who put aside all privilege because, as the first reading tells us, God will give all things for our sake, even his own life. His throne was a cross. His crown was made of thorns. His regalia were the wounds that pierced his body.
That's the basis of service, as opposed to accumulating power, having military dominion, and so forth. And which is all, there's all kinds of tension here, right? Because the British Empire didn't spread through, you know, service. The British Empire spread through force, right? And just like you think of, you know, the poverty of Jesus contrasted with the overwhelmingly opulent wealth on display inside the church with all of the gold, you know, the 800 gold plates and the, you know, there are tensions here. There are contrasts here. And, you know, you're even sort of reminded of, like, the tensions inside of Christianity between the higher churches that believe in stained glass and cathedrals and buildings and gold and what you might call low churches that just believe in simple worship and some who don't even believe in having instruments because the New Testament doesn't have instruments. The New Testament only has voices. And so you have the, you know, like the some of the, you know, very fundamentalist Baptist churches who believe in only having voices and, you know, even the Amish, of course, who don't believe in having anything showy whatsoever because we're supposed to live a life that exemplifies the poverty of Christ and the simplicity of the faith rather than being attached to these earthly goods. So it's a certain vision of Christianity, and it is not the vision that everybody shares. But again, if you got a global audience tuned in to watch something and they're going to talk about the Bible and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and sacrifice, I'm in. You know, I'll take that for the win. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that!
Toward the end of budget negotiations, the chambers agreed to spend money to replace drones used by law enforcement. A bill last year banned law enforcement agencies from using drones made in China.
We created a drone replacement grant program. There is concern nationwide, including with Homeland Security, that there are drones flying over the U.S. that have the capacity to send information back to a foreign government. And we think it's important enough to set up $25 million to retire those drones. And that started January 1st.
Our state Senator Doug Broxson, District 1, talking last week during the end moments of session about how, again, as he said, they put aside $25 million in the budget to buy new drones for law enforcement. Drones that don't have TikTok installed on them, basically. Drones that can't just go send stuff back because they're not made in China. Can't send stuff back to the Chinese that we didn't realize they have the ability to do. It's a law that was, as he said, as you heard the narrator, passed last year and then funded this year with the replacements. 524 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Authorities in Texas have now identified the dead gunman from Saturday's mass shooting at an outlet mall as a 33-year-old Hispanic male. According to two senior law enforcement officials, the shooter was armed with a rifle and a handgun and was wearing a tactical vest when that shooting happened. Eight people were killed, seven others wounded. And, of course, that all happened at the Allen Premium Outlets north of Dallas. 1,700 people have been evacuated from Russian-controlled areas of Ukraine near the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant. An official with the United Nations said Saturday the area is potentially dangerous ahead of an expected Ukrainian counteroffensive. And the Writers Guild of America still on strike, Andrew. Of course, that began last week. The WGA and AMPTP have now been in talks for several weeks concerning improved compensation increases for writers amid the streaming era.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Yeah, it's interesting. Just some of the horrific things about this Texas shooting. For example, he was apparently wearing tactical gear that had, like, you know, police on it. So it was meant to look like he was a cop. And the weird, I don't know, there's so much about this, but to me it was weird because he, like, jumps out of the car and just starts shooting at the outside of the mall, which I'm good it was there and not inside, because inside is so much more people, so many more people. And then this, basically a cop who was at the mall on a completely unrelated call is the one who winds up shooting and killing him, goes straight to the gunfire, total hero, winds up taking him out. And then they keep talking about, you know, the guy's last name is Garcia, but they keep talking about how he had some kind of ties, they think maybe, to, you know, white supremacist stuff, which I don't kind of understand how you put all those facts together, but, you know, we're waiting to find out. But, yeah, just a horrible thing to take place in Texas over the weekend. 437-1620. Meanwhile, locally, I went to Cabaret. Had a great time at Cabaret.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
No, did Danny go?
Oh, yeah, of course. I would not go to. I mean, no, I guess I did go like the 1 year, like the very first year or something. Went just with people from work, but, or she couldn't go or didn't want to go or something.
I remember you
but,
saying that she liked that event.
Yeah, that's so, like, yeah, that's one of the events. Asked, yeah. That's one of the events that she likes because, you know, there's music and dancing and shows and mm-hmm. stuff. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's fun. I've never been. I just hear it's, no, it's just wonderful. Absolutely. I've always been fun. Working on that night, so.
You know, it's definitely a PLT shows off, you know. And
of course, yeah.
And it's kind of...
The best parts about Pensacola.
Here's what's kind of funny. You know, I think people who know Cabaret as an event would be like, Andrew McKay goes to Cabaret? Like,
I am. Yeah.
Because they, you know, because they have drag shows and they have, you know, that's a very, that's always been something. Yeah, no. And 1 year we went and they had, you know, there were models outside who were being body painted and just say they weren't wearing... Well,
no,
they were being
I have
body painted,
that.
You know.
Yes.
That's, and so, no, it's very much an R-rated show, okay, or PG-15. I mean, it's not, you know.
No, I hear you.
But and so this is why when you hear me talking about some of these issues, you know, I understand things that are for kids and things that are not for kids, and there's a difference. So that's, you know. Not everybody has my same sensibilities within, let's say, the Christian faith or conservative moral world as I do, but. You know, there you go. That stuff doesn't particularly bother me. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want good advice because you want to get somebody who's going to help you sell or buy at the right price. Buying, where you can get negotiations and reduced price, especially if they're buying a new home. You might think that can't be done, but Christina Leavenworth tells me it can be. And the reason she's so good at the buying side, which we don't really focus on, we talk about the selling side, you know, because she wants to find people who want to make listings and sell homes. But the buy side, because she knows so well how to sell. And who better to figure out how to get you a purchase than the person who knows how to sell the home? What price is going to win, what the other offers might be if they come in, what things you can and cannot negotiate on, what the seller is going to be looking for. You know, if you know what a seller is thinking, then you know how to effectively buy from them. Well, she's outstandingly expert at selling, and that's why she's so good at helping you buy. But on the sell side, too, you know, above list price many times, in a day or two many times, even in this environment. So very, very effective. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 529 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing that I was going to... somebody texted in about King Charles... that, you know, he's not a very well-liked person. Seems petty and entitled compared to, you know, the mom and her Tupperware and her thriftiness. And, you
right,
know,
right.
Being a, you know, pre-war, basically, queen. And here's the one thing I will say. I don't mean for this to come off snarky. It probably can't help but sounding that way. But if you don't like Charles, well, you don't have to live with him an awful long time. I mean, he's 70, what, four? He's not going to be king a long time, you would figure. We're going to have another ceremony like this within probably the next, you would think, 15 to 20 years, if not sooner. And then you will have William and Kate. And you will have people who are very widely admired and respected and liked. And so,
that started out dark.
No, I'm just...
I know.
You know, you got the whole thing with Diana and with Camilla and with all of this. And, you know, he turns his own wife into the queen from the queen consort. And there's all these things behind the scenes. But like I said, it won't be for all that long, you would think.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Law enforcement officials says federal investigators are looking into whether the gunman who killed eight people at a Dallas area mall expressed interest in white supremacist ideology. They're trying to figure out his motive. Title 42 ends Thursday. A surge of migrants suspected at the southern border. President Biden defends his son, Hunter, amid the investigations into his business dealings. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace.
With Jamie Comer at the helm of the oversight committee, if the Department of Justice and the FBI will not do their job, we will do their job for them.
A Republican on Sunday Night in America referencing House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer, who will have a presser this week about an FBI whistleblower. The president delivers remarks on protecting you when you are saddled with flight delays or cancellations. He'll be joined later today by the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 73 right now. It is mostly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. A 54-year-old Milton man died in a crash on State Road 87 in Santa Rosa County over the weekend. Now, this happened over at the intersection with Hickory Hammock Road on Saturday. FHP says a pickup truck ran a red light, hit the sedan that was being driven by that victim. The driver pronounced dead at the scene of that crash, and two other people in the car had minor injuries, a 62-year-old woman and a 9-year-old boy. The driver of that pickup truck also had some minor injuries from the crash, and FHP says there are charges pending after the completion of a traffic homicide investigation. Well, thrift shoppers celebrated the opening of a new store in Cantonment over the weekend. The Back to the Rack thrift store opened its doors recently, and the owners of that store say their goal is to help folks that are hurting because of the current rate of inflation. The owners say they want to help anybody who needs it, and they're encouraging people in need to talk to them if they need help. Some of the proceeds from the store also benefiting local church organizations and the Wounded Combat Veterans Organization. Back to the Rack, located over on South Highway 29. A number of Alabama church congregations are breaking off from the United Methodist Church denomination. About 200 disaffiliated from the denomination during a special called session of the Alabama West Florida Conference in Mobile over the weekend. Close to 30 of those congregations were from the Wiregrass. One bishop called it a somber day for the conference. Organization Black Business Pensacola launching a new initiative to help black business owners in the area. It's called the Entrepreneur Institute. It's designed to help business owners with skills that are needed in the ever-changing business landscape. They're going to be hosting a series of workshops that'll be featuring experts from various industries, and the first one actually being held tonight at the Bellevue Library. It is 5:33 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a small chance at a stray shower, 20% chance of rain with a high near 81. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. For Tuesday, another beautiful and nice humid day, 84 degrees for your high, 30% chance of a few stray showers. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got mostly cloudy skies, 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Advertising? Marketing? Digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about, but what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
On April the 11th, we were made aware in a council meeting that Mr. Spears and Councilman Snow spent about 40 or appeared before the Pensacola Area Realtors Association. They presented to their commercial forum. What we weren't told at that meeting is that they were once again accusing our organization, Save Blackwater River, and Milton's concerned citizens of spreading lies and misinformation.
All right. We're here. It's the soap.
Finally.
And this is, listen, I don't have enough time, even on the show with 4 hours, to tell you everything that happened in this meeting and the half hour plus that was spent on this topic. But here's the background, okay? Pam Mitchell, who is one of the Pitchfork Posse, one of the originators of the Milton Concerned Citizens for Milton and the Facebook group and the petition, and they want to stop the wastewater treatment plant, okay? That's the primary driving and organizing principle of their lives, because she lives right there on Cooper's Basin, where they're worried that it's going to destroy their beautiful, pristine native environment. That's basically the motivating principle. So she says that Jeff Snow, city councilman, and Ed Snow, the assistant city administrator, economic development director, that they went to a meeting with the realtors. Jeff's a realtor and Ed's the economic development director, and talked to those realtors. And in the course of that meeting, they had told all these scoundrelous lies and created this political propaganda and lied about her and her group.
I learned of the content of their presentation from a realtor that I did not know previously. He sought me out at a Republican function and asked if I knew that city representatives were spreading political propaganda against me my husband and the organizations we belong to.
And how dare they, right? That's kind of the purpose of this presentation during, again, the Milton City Council meeting in the open forum where you can speak on stuff. And in this case, she had gotten Mayor Heather Lindsay to agree that she gets donated time from other people, so she had 15 minutes to talk. 15 minutes to talk. And talk for 15 minutes, she certainly did.
Both Mr. Spears and Councilman Snow made many statements that were not factual, all the while pointing their fingers at our groups for spreading lies and misinformation.
So they lied, we tell the truth. They say they were telling the truth, but they were really lying about our truths, and you get the point here. So she went through this video of the presentation at the Realtors, which was partially presentation and partially Q&A, and she had an annotated critique of the entire video with timestamps and everything to lay out her case of how this was all inappropriate. And she talked about a lot of things. I won't play all of this for you. I just give you a sense of some of the critiques.
23, Mr. Spears.
That's minute 23.
Keep good people like Jeff on city council. And I have a problem with that because he's politicking while he's on the job for the city of Milton.
So you got, again, the assistant city administrator slash economic development director and a city councilman showed up at a realtor's meeting, talked for about an hour, and now you have a citizen who's upset about what was said, giving a blow-by-blow critique of that at the city council meeting for all of the other city council members. Minute.
At the 43-minute mark, Mr. Spears fearmongers that Naval Air Station Whiting Field is going to shut down if the wastewater plant isn't completed soon.
Now, you know, if you had a couple, like if you'd pick just like two or three, like the best things, right? These are really, like, look, there is something approaching inappropriate for Ed Spears to talk about which city council members are people that ought to be, but it's such a bland comment, you know, keep good people like Jeff Snow on city council. That's barely an endorsement, right? If he had said, look, in the upcoming election, you got this person, you got this person, you got to go with Jeff Snow if you care about, well, that would be super inappropriate for somebody who is actually part of the employee structure that city council hires. But saying keep good people like Jeff Snow on is, yes, it's a little odd, okay, but it's also so light. Anyway, so fear-mongering about shutting down Whiting about, you know, and concerns about wastewater treatment and, you know, what might be done, what kind of capacity. So, and then she says that, and this is something we've talked about many times at the wastewater treatment plant.
Number 46, Spears, it is NIMBYism.
Not in my backyardism. Oh. Is why they don't want.
Sorry. In 2015 and 2018, when the permit was issued and updated, they didn't have a problem. Speaking of my husband and myself, they. The permit was issued in 2015 and updated in 2021, so his dates were wrong.
Okay, so, and not such a big deal, but this goes on. The business with the house goes on quite a bit.
He continues, not until they built their dream home did they have a problem. Our home was built in the 1980s. It was stick-built by hand by former councilman Clayton White, and his next-door neighbor, Mr. Ufford. It is 1,050 square feet. It's like a Jim Walter house on stilts. It is my dream home because of where it sits. It is not the dream home that is pictured when someone speaks to a room full of wealthy realtors and says they built their dream home.
So she's upset that Ed Spears called her house on Cooper's Basin her dream home, when it's actually not a dream home. It's very small. It's not a dream home of the sort that you would think you would mean when you're talking to these realtors. And how dare he exaggerate? that's what I'm saying. 15 minutes of annotated critique of somebody's speech. And part of it is she's irritated that he called it her dream home.
And again, y'all will receive a real simple picture of what our house looks like. I'm not ashamed of my house. I love my house.
But it ain't no dream home.
But I don't like anything being misrepresented and misconstrued.
Give me 15 minutes to fill. I will fill 15 minutes of material.
Has she ever run for
I can't anything? Remember who. There's a lot of these folks that have. I don't remember if she has or she. And by the way, I've talked to Pam. Well, not talked. I've emailed back and forth with Pam Mitchell. She seems like a fairly sweet lady. She keeps inviting me out to go look at the
really
site.
She seems really smart when I've seen her. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know,
I like everybody.
Of the Pitchfork posse, she's sort of the better end, so to speak, of that group. But this is just, this is wild. Like, she just goes into every detail of every part of this speech. Like, she's the high school English teacher red-penning every, you know, errant jot and tittle. It's wild. And some of it is more substantial than others. But you get down to the end, and it's just... it's just wild. Like, she's even to the point of critiquing verbal mannerisms.
Mr. Snow says that our group is putting out false lies. I have to laugh a little bit. If a lie is false, does that mean it's the truth? Anyway, false lies. To mislead the public and accuses us of purposely lying to further a political agenda and get people elected or unelected.
I mean... you should winnow this down to 3 minutes, you know, make this a tight 2.5 minute critique. And then, you know, these are the three big things that they did wrong. Let's focus on that. But when you get into this again, the speech itself was 14 or 40 or 50 minutes, something long like that. And by the way, this is amazing. Again, I'm just kind of giving her the fair due of the kind of the things that she brought up that wind up getting the city council worked up.
This is real important to y'all. At the 54 minute mark, Mr. Snow says, unfortunately, they, meaning MCC, in the last election got people elected that probably shouldn't have been. He is speaking of your mayor and the council members seated to the left where I'm sitting, standing. This is totally disrespectful to the citizens and people that elected this council. Snow also refers to the council as my council.
So Jeff Snow's big sin here is that he said that some of the city council members, he wished they didn't get elected or shouldn't have been elected. I don't think that's any surprise. That's what people believe about, you know, their fellow representatives all the time. And calling it my council, which can mean it's my council, or it can mean, well, what my council had decided to do, which is common phraseology. That's the way people on the board talk about it. It's all the time. You know, my legislature, it's not like you run it. It's just like you're a part of it. And so, you know, you might speak about it. And then just again, just this is kind of how this all goes. She's down to the point of tabulating the lies and doing a per minute count.
Okay. Ma'am, wrap it up.
I'm about finished.
I got about two paragraphs.
17 minutes
according
in.
According to my count, that's 24 untruths that Mr. Spears and Mr. Snow presented to the realtors group in 45 minutes. That's an average of one disparagement and defamation of our groups every 2 minutes. Every 2 minutes.
So the lie per minute tabulator. It's running. And this is the part where I started to feel sad. Because it's one thing to hear yourself get talked about or to hear a presentation and to want to do something to fight back, you know? And to want to bring an awareness to problems to the city council. Again, if you did tight two or 3 minutes, here's some things that I heard. These are really problematic. Why don't you find out what was going on? But this is the level of time and attention that she spent on this.
I have one personal comment and then I'm done. I've spent over 15 hours of my time listening to this, making notes, going back, making sure I heard things just right.
15 hours.
In order to defend myself and the people that belong to our groups.
15 hours.
From defamation by public servants.
Fifth.
This is certainly not how our city should be perceived by the public.
15 hours watching, rewatching, annotating, calculating, tabulating, rewriting, rewatching. 15 hours. Oh, man. So she says it's shameful. Heather Lindsay, the mayor, says, well, you know, look, as far as the city council members go, there's no real process for that. The employees, like Ed Spears, he works for Randy Jorgensen, the city manager. Heather Lindsay says, look, I'm kind of, you know, disappointed in you, Jeff Snow, because I thought we were getting along real well.
I will say I was very disappointed, Councilman Snow. I felt like we were doing so much better, and I was sad to hear some of your remarks. But
can I address that, Mayor?
Of course. Okay. I understand you're going to want to defend yourself as well. And
I'm not going to go into all this.
Understood. You're recognized.
You can take things out of context all day long. I'll say this.
Let's let him be heard, please.
Normal decorum.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because all through his comments, the people in the audience are trying to speak and talk over him, and they're not, you know, he sat there and listened to this full 17-minute presentation and didn't say a word, which is appropriate given the time amounted, allotted. And then, you know, when he starts to talk and they're starting to yell over him, so he says,
I'll stand by what I say about your group. It's a socialist liberal group who met with the Democratic Party at least a week or two ago. So you
please,
know what?
Please maintain order, member.
When it comes to what we've stated and what staff has presented, we have been above board. This staff has been above board and speaks the truth when it comes to the wastewater treatment plant. I'm not going to get tit for tat for every little statement if a number happened to be wrong. I'll stand by what I said, and I'll stick to it.
So Heather Lindsay wants to know whether she meant him or whether he meant her in talking about, you know, who shouldn't have gotten elected, because that had been brought up. Pam Mitchell said that clearly he must have meant Heather, and he says, no, just, you know, not you, just in general, this group and some of the people that they were supporting. And, you know, there was a bit of a conversation about that. And then Mike Cusack, who's another city council member, had asked Randy Jorgensen, you know, did you approve of this? Did you know this was going to happen? What's your relationship to all of this? And Randy's like, I knew it was going to get Randy's way to talk. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't approve every speaking point, but I don't think what he said was disparaging or inaccurate. It's fine. And there's more Mike Cusack. We'll get to it later on in the show. But the one the one that you got to hear, this is the, like, I might not have even done very much with this because it was only mildly entertaining until this point. But David Farrow, whose wife is Marilyn Farrow, who is on the city council, okay, and he's also very involved in Santa Rosa County Republican politics, and he gets up at the end of all the conversations and right before they're going to do this special meeting that they've got to do on a totally different project, he gets up and says, the worthwhile payoff.
Mayor, we have a special call meeting.
This is Randy talking.
Yes, we do, in just a moment. And before we have the special call meeting, Mr. Farrow, would you like to be recognized?
Yes. David Farrow, Milton, Florida. I am disappointed in you, especially Jeff Snow. Your disappointment, you are a disappointment to this community. Smile, you know, I'd love to just round my fist in your face.
Try to maintain professionalism, Mr. Farrow.
I'm sorry, that's my wife who's talking about it.
What?
I wouldn't talk about his wife in a negative way. Yeah. You were improper.
Mr. Farrow, we've heard your comments.
So if it hadn't have been for almost a fist fight breaking out at the Milton City Council, I might have just passed on all of this because it took me a lot of time, too. Not quite as much as 15 hours.
Man, you buried the lead.
But you get down to the end of the section, and the husband of one of the members of the city council is, and you can't really make it out because he's walked out, like, in the way the setup is you've got the council sits at a dais, you know, in front of the people, and then there's a kind of a speaker's podium off to the one side, and he had actually left the speaker's podium and was walking towards Jeff and yelling at him and menacing him, and, you know, it's Milton. God only knows, you know, what's going on exactly, and so that's, again, this was really the ultimate moment.
Smile, you know, I'd love to just round my fist in your face.
Try to maintain professionalism, Mr. Farrow.
And talks about him talking about his wife. That's my wife you're talking about. I wouldn't talk about his wife because she's been one of the MCC, the Milton Concerned Citizens supporters, kind of affiliated with the Pitchfork Posse and all that. So yeah, you know, it's not every day that the husband of a city council member threatens a city council member to punch him in the face. It's, you know, it's entertaining. And then about an hour goes by because they have this whole conversation about the Lighthouse Christian Academy wanting to buy the old medical facility by the high school and turn that into their college campus. We'll get into that, you know, maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. That's a really interesting project, by the way. So all of that's a special meeting. It was scheduled for a certain time, so they had to break to go to that. And then they come back after about an hour break, and either somebody talked to David Farrow or he had a, you know, a little bit of a repentant moment.
So for all of you on the council and the public out here and those that have left, I would like to apologize for my attitude earlier. It has been probably over 35 years since I've been so angry. And I I pray that God will forgive me for my anger. I really mean that from my heart.
Yes, sir.
It's not me.
So that's good. It's good he apologized. Be better to not threaten to punch a city council member in the face during the meeting in the first place. But, you know, he did come back and apologize later. So, you see, when I talk about there's things that happen in Milton that make it worth watching.
When's that next meeting at?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, get that popcorn. Should I go sell popcorn? Will I get in trouble? Can I ask Colton?
Oh,
Colton,
man.
You're a businessman at heart. Let me sell popcorn.
5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Milton-centric. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has fantastic cars. Cars, the kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends, I recommend. The kind of cars that are not brand new, but are not that old either. Like 1, 2, 3 years old, almost new. Great prices, you know, low mileage, great condition. In fact, they're such good condition, they stand by them. You know, and I've had people talk about, you know, well, I got this car and 6 months later, and they'll take care of you. I mean, because they're selling you a new car at a not new car price. You know, like a car you'd own a year or two later. And that's the kind of car that you can buy and then drive until the wheels fall off. Right? You can drive it for 100 or 200 or 300,000 miles, which is how I tend to do cars. So Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality vehicles. You know, buy the car now, see them again in 15 years for the next one. That's kind of my approach. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Life After 50 Expo is Friday at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Center. Learn what seniors need to know at this free event. HappeningNextDoor.com for more. The annual Pensacola Kids Fishing Clinic is Saturday at Maritime Park. Registration begins at 8:30. The first 350 kids, ages 5 to 15, accompanied by an adult, get free instruction and a fishing combo. See Pensacola.fish for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
How do you take those two fingers off? They're not even next to each other.
Popping bottles in the ice, like a blizzard. When we drink, we do it right. Getting slizzard, sipping scissor, in my ride, in my ride.
You haven't seen it yet?
It's in our list.
Oh, man. It's I totally thought you'd appreciate that, you know, cocaine bear cut.
Darren's like, it looks stupid. I was like, I know, that's the point.
It's different, and it's not anything you... It's not. It, you know, if you like a movie just for being different than anything else, that's how that movie is. It's just kind of... Well, all right, I wasn't expecting that exactly. And whatever you were expecting, it will be something else. Listen.